This is an adult-oriented podcast involving discussions about sex and the BDSM lifestyle. If you do not wish to hear about these things, or if you are under 18 years of age, stop listening now. This isn't the show for you. I torture you. Take my hand through the flame. I torture you.
I'm a slave to your games. And welcome back to Adventures in Kink. I'm BK.
I'm Princess Pita.
The next couple of episodes, we are going to actually just do the book club because the subjects in the next chapter or two are all different toys and activities and things that we love to do. So we're just going to kind of let the book
be
guide,
our outline.
Yeah, be our outline and let it kind of guide the discussion. Although we're going to put our more modern spin on this, because some of the things are still, as we have stated many times, quite dated in this. It's a 20-year-old text, but the information is still very good. Some of it's still very valid. Some of it has changed. Some information has changed, not on like different toys, but there are some different things now, some different options. So we can add some of that.
And we're also kind of putting our money where our mouth is today.
We certainly are, and we will discuss that, but I'll just say that I have a lovely view this episode. Princess Pita is topless in the recording studio, wearing a zipper that I manufactured for her since she has never experienced a zipper. And the first thing we're going to discuss is different clamps and nipple clamps and clothespins and such. And so we thought it might be fun to let her experience the removal of said zipper when we get through with that portion of the discussion in this episode. There may need to be a magical podcast pause. That means, you know, half a second for you guys, but it might be a day for us. We don't know how she's going to process this. So, because it's her first time, but she's chosen to experience it with you because she loves you all so much.
True.
And she wants me to touch her.
Always.
And I approve that. So, let's begin, shall we?
All right.
There was the first line of this chapter, chapter six, by the way, the title, if you would.
Non-government sanctioned sex and torture.
Non-government sanctioned sex and torture. Love it. The first line in this chapter is one that a lot of people, it will resonate with them. There's torture, and then there's sex and torture. Raising kids is torture. Sadomasochism isn't anywhere near that cruel.
I disagree, but you know.
That's because you have good kids.
True.
Some people, especially ones that are experiencing the terrible twos and not getting any sleep from that and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Some people experience the terrible twos all the way up through 18. You know, you wouldn't know anything about that, but
I guess I might have thought differently during the colic year, so.
Yeah, that's true. See, so this is nowhere near that cruel. But
true.
This is definitely torture.
True.
As you bump a clothespin every time you grab your microphone. I'm loving this so much. I may be a little giddy. Who knows? All right. So the first category in this chapter is clips, clamps, and clothespins. Go figure.
So I'm actually kind of excited because in the more than year that we've known each other, this last couple weeks is the first opportunity we've actually had to play with that kind of stuff. Because when I met you, I had just gotten my nipples pierced.
Yes.
So we couldn't do any kind of nipple play, and my nipples never actually healed. And so we made the decision a couple weeks ago to just go ahead and take the piercings out and give up on it. And I've kind of felt amazing since. It's been really nice having my boobs back. So
it's been nice having the new playthings.
Yes. So I can finally actually get to experience a lot of the clamps and things that I've kind of sort of felt, but not
right.
Yeah.
We kind of tried some things, but things were tender because you were still healing, even no, six,
I
eight,
I would go
nine
beyond
months.
Tender to like incredibly painful.
Like 0 to 90 in one half of a second.
Yes.
Let me tell you, folks. It
so
was
So I'm
brutal.
Excited to have ownership of my nipples back.
As am I.
True.
So the let's talk nipple clamps first. The first kind that they list, and there's a picture of all of these in the book. And all of these are available. Some are less readily available. And I'm going to go from the bottom to the top because I kind of deal in these too. The first is a alligator clamp, which is the standard clamp that you would see. It's just a clip.
You pinch one end and it opens the other.
Right.
Yeah.
And they make those with a screw in them so that they're adjustable so that they won't close all the way. For those that can't take that. That way they can build up to that or whatever. But they also make those without the screw. Or just take the screw out and then that's what you have.
And they tend to vary in pressure. It really just depends on the ones you have and how strong their springs are.
That's true. The strength of the spring and the integrity of the spring is definitely a factor. The next kind that they have is the pinching sliders. It's looks like two wires with a little, like a C on the end. For like a circular shape when it comes together. And then there's like a rubber band or a ring or something that slides up the wire. I'm describing something that they can see in a picture.
Well, hopefully they have the picture because it's very hard to describe. But it looks like a tool. It looks like a smaller version of something.
It almost looks like a bobby pin.
Okay.
You can see that now, can't you?
No.
You have the book. It's by your butt. I see it.
No, because what I'm picturing is not what you're describing.
It's basically...
I'm picturing the ones that go like this and then...
No, that's a tool grabber. That's not what
this is. They make them like that, though.
Make them like that, but that's not what this is. This is basically a wire, and it has a thing that slides up, and as it slides up, it holds them closed.
Okay. Okay. So kind of like when people do the pencils and the right. rubber pencils bands around the ends.
Bamboo or chopsticks. Skewers, yeah. Chopsticks with rubber bands. And the closer you get in,
The tighter it is.
Same principle with those.
That's not what I was picturing at all.
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully someone was picturing that because they were looking at the picture. You can stick that tongue out at me again later, young lady. And yes, for those who haven't figured it out, I have been a little under the weather. We both have. And my chest is a little congested and it probably is affecting my voice right now. So I apologize for that. Should have said that up front.
You sound the same to me.
Okay. Well, I don't to me. And I can feel myself struggling to breathe sometimes, but I'm fighting through. Okay. After the slider things, we have the vice. Style. I have some of those. They basically look like a little small mini vise.
Like a tiny little, C-clamp.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Kind of like a C-clamp, and then it's got the screw on the bottom that adjusts the thing, and we're just kind of closed up like a mammogram, but just for your nipple. The next kind that they have pictured are a form of a clover clamp, and I'm not even going to try and describe it. You can still find them out there some places. Some people think, oh man, those are kind of new. Well, they're not. They just went away for a while and they've come back. I'm not going to try and describe it. If you have the book, hopefully you have the book. You can see it in the picture. But then the last kind is the clover clamp, which is very readily available now. And, they grab a hold. That most of them have very good strength, and you can tug and tug and tug and tug, and they just don't let go because that's how they're made. So
they're very, very strong and not for the faint of heart.
No, they are not. They are for the nipple tree, though. Yay.
Yeah. So speaking of which, that's actually a good segue. Clamps don't have to be just clamps. Like, you can do more with them than that's just, true. You know, have the chain hanging between them. People can get very creative with clamps. They hook them up into rope when they're doing predicament stuff. They, yes. You know, have the submissive hold the chain in their mouth and, you know, as part of it. There's so much variety of what you can do with clamps.
I have made gags that the chain attaches to the end of the gag. And it's measured individually for the person. so that when their head is down, that chain is taut at the gag in their mouth. But if they jerk their head back because something startles them or they get hit with something, then they're going to jerk those clamps at the same time, which is a form of predicament and a very fun form of predicament that
right.
we haven't been able to experience yet. Emphasizing yet.
Yeah, I got that.
But yeah, that's fun. The other thing that you can do is just have them independent without the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Clothespins, like we had mentioned, you wearing the zipper. You can do that with some of the other clamps, like the alligator clamps. I don't know that it would work with clover clamps.
But they're too strong. Because I think you'd hurt yourself.
Would probably remove flesh yeah. if you jerk those off. Some people may be into that, and that's all fine and good. But that's not really what we're condoning here.
So the clothespins, people like the clothespins because it's not just about like the putting it on and the pinching, but you can flick at it.
Right.
And you can bump it with things. You can knock it off with crops,
floggers, whips.
Yep. There's the bumping into it myself a million times, which is, you know,
is
fun for yeah. you.
It's very fun for me.
You know, and then there's the zipper, which in case people don't know what that is.
Basically, a zipper is a clothespins, and you just basically take a string or something. I found some ribbon because the clothespins I have, the little spring was very small. There's a small hole in the middle there, and I found a ribbon that came with some glow sticks that I'd bought, and it fit, so I used it. And I actually, the things on the end that I put on there, actually the caps from the glow sticks. So, yes. you can be creative with that. I've gone and you can use the 1-inch O-rings or D-rings or whatever you want. You don't have to use anything. You can just tie yourself a loop, put your fingers in there, grab and yank. It's really up to you. I used to do zippers from anywhere with 10 on them, which is what you're wearing.
Right.
You're wearing 10 clothespins, 5 on each boob. And I've done everything up to 100 where there were 50 on each boob. It was a lot of fun trying to fit all that in there.
Wow.
And if you think that was fun, trying to get them all off at once was even more fun. Because it was like, hang on, which it really loses the effect after you pause the first time. So, because you really want everything to remove all at once for that rush, which you're about to experience semi-live on this podcast. I say semi-live because by the time people hear it, it will have been recorded. So, do you want to do that?
We can.
Let's do that. Okay, I'm now face to mic. Hi, boobs. Okay, I think we're ready. Here we go. No. Look at me in my eyes. Why is that look of fear when you look at my eyes? Am I that scary?
No. Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to count to three.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
One, two.
Ah!
Three.
Ow, 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 ow.
Process. It's okay to say ow. You know that.
Okay.
Put your zipper here. Everything you hoped and more.
That hurt worse than I thought it was going to.
Okay. Let me step over here for a second. Okay. I'm going to hit pause. Rolling.
Hey there.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good.
We had a short pause to process. Make sure everything was okay in process, and I think the zipper experience has been documented. There will be a photo appear on the podcast FET page, probably a day or two following this episode's arrival on the great worldwide web. Sounds good. Awesome. So the next thing in this chapter, because it doesn't talk in great length about any of these things, but that's kind of why we're going over some of them. The next thing is fire and ice. this section is obviously about
fire and ice.
Fire and ice. And the only thing they mention with fire is wax, which we know.
Which is weird because there's fire.
There's fire wands and fire cupping and lots of fire.
Yeah, the
fire flogging.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah, yeah, there's lots of fire.
It's weird that they don't mention fire play, but maybe 20 years ago it wasn't as big of a thing.
20 years ago it wasn't that big a thing because think about it. 20 years ago you didn't really have public dungeons. I mean, you did, but they were word of mouth. You didn't have FetLife or an internet. You had the bulletin board systems, the BBSs. You had magazines. And if you were fortunate enough to be in a large city like Los Angeles or
New York
or even San Francisco, then you had multiple clubs that you could go to. Most people, even today, don't have a local dungeon. You have local parties and a local community, but you don't have a local dungeon. So back then, the fire stuff would have been very specialized by people in their homes. And if you had a large party, you probably didn't break it out because it became a greater hazard.
Do we want to talk about a couple of those fire things real quick?
We certainly can.
So I like the fire wands. I've gotten to experience fire a couple of times. I really like the fire wands. It's the heat is close, but it's not too intense. And you do have to be careful. You can't wear anything that's like you shouldn't have lotions on and things like that. Anything right. with glitter on it, because glitter is metallic and it'll heat up and burn you. So you have to be clean and bare.
Right.
And if you're wearing anything, it's cotton only. And
otherwise it will melt into your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the first things they teach you in the fire safety classes, and it's pretty universal no matter what fire safety class you're in, unless it's a bad one, is that no colognes, no perfumes, no deodorants, because they all contain alcohol.
And they burn.
And they will burn you. And when you play with fire, you will get burned. But we don't, you know, if we can mitigate how bad that is, then we take those steps.
Right. So the fire wands are cool.
I like how those look.
Yeah, they're really neat.
They look cool when you're using them.
Giant flaming marshmallows.
Yeah.
Yeah. fire cupping. A lot of people love fire cupping, especially since it leaves nice giant bruises all over your back. I don't care for it. I mean, I like it, but like, it's not my favorite thing just because it is really painful too.
It's an actual therapy thing. You know, if you think back to the last Summer Olympics, Michael Phelps even had cupping.
This wasn't fire cupping, it was cupping.
But it was cupping. But yeah, it's the same principle.
It brings toxins to the surface of the skin and releases them and things like that. I guess when I first tried it, it was back when I was first getting started and I wasn't really built up to any kind of tolerance of pain yet. So the cupping was a little intense for me. I think if I tried it now, it probably wouldn't be so bad.
It might be actually kind of relaxing now.
Yeah.
I've seen cupping to the point that it drew blood.
Hmm. Well, there's also blood cupping, but that's a different thing, and we'll talk about that at a different time.
But sometimes there's enough toxins that it brings the blood with it,
right? You
know, and it actually, and they play with the blood because it's in a sealed cup on the skin, your own skin, where it came out of your own body, and people play with it, and you get the blood slug going and all that. It's a thing.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, no.
Fire flogging, I've never experienced it, but I've seen it. It's really cool to see. Yeah. Yeah, I got to actually sit outside and watch a scene. And you have you always have a safety monitor on hand. There's two certified fire people, one who's doing the fire play and one who's watching and standing by with, you know,
safety precautions.
Exactly. So you always have a monitor because those scenes can, if something goes wrong, it's going to happen fast and you have to react very quickly. So when we had our local dungeon, they were very careful about that. You know, the dungeon monitors always know that a fire scene's going to happen. You have extra eyes on hand
with
a fire blanket nearby. And, you know, it's just with everything else we do, just like everything we do, it's important to have the right safety precautions in place and a backup plan and an exit strategy.
It's definitely risk aware. Mm-hmm. Because everything we do is risky. Some things are more risky than others. It's fire, for crying out loud.
Right. And someday I would like to try the fire flogging, but, you know, probably won't happen right away.
All in good time.
Yeah. Wax, though.
Wax.
We love wax. Wax is fun.
We played with wax just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, we did. That picture's on my page.
We certainly do.
They talk about different types of wax. Basically, they say it comes in two flavors, beeswax and paraffin, but...
there's also soy.
We make all of our candles from soy wax.
A lot of people will mix soy and paraffin to get it a little bit hotter.
Well, and the soy wax has a real soft texture, so sometimes it doesn't give you the effect that you're going for. If you want a, you know, more layered effect, it's harder to do with soy. Soy tends to melt into the skin a little bit.
If it's summertime in Texas,
soy will melt all on its own.
Soy will sometimes not solidify on the flesh because the flesh is warm enough that it will melt the soy. It's a very low temp wax.
Right.
Which is perfect if you are new to wax, because you don't want to pour wax on your lover or bottom or whatever the case may be in your instance, and then have to explain to the emergency room, well, we were just kind of fooling around and I poured the candle on her private place and 3rd-degree burns. We need a skin graft. What? Yeah, those are not conversations worth having.
So you should always start out with the lower temperature waxes. You should always test it on yourself first if you're going to be playing with somebody.
Yes, the book actually suggests testing it like a baby's bottle.
On your wrist.
Right.
Because we tend to pour it on more sensitive areas, you know, on someone's back or on the front, around the boobs are your favorite, but, you know.
They make pretty pictures.
Yes. So you want to test it out on yourself. You want to start at a farther distance and gradually get closer, because if you start out real close, then it may be too much too fast. The heat's, it has less time to cool, so it's hotter the closer you get. I know there were a couple times when we were playing a couple weeks ago that the heat was really intense and kind of shocking to me, because you had changed the distance that you were dropping it from, or, oh, it was because you were using the lighter to warm up.
The wick had melted down into the candle, and I was using the lighter to directly melt the wax, and I was holding it a little close for that much.
It was direct flame rather than indirect flame on a wick, and so
on a butane torch, a dual torch instead of a tiny wick. Right. So it was a lot more intense heat.
But the good thing is, since we are playing with soy wax, even that more intense heat was not too much and it didn't burn me at all.
And
so,
it cooled
off fine.
Very quickly.
Right.
And also, it was just surprising. It was an upper layer. There was already wax between you and it. So
I don't recommend, you know, using your lighter to heat the wax directly and, you know,
sometimes we improvise with what we have, and I have that in my pocket.
Yes. So the temperature at which the wax burns gets hotter with different waxes. So, you know, step up from soy would be the mix of soy and paraffin, and from there, paraffin itself. I think beeswax burns hotter than paraffin.
Yes.
And then also adding color and adding perfume.
Right, scents.
To wax makes it burn even hotter.
Do not take something from your Scentsy pot, your wax warmer, whatever, and pour that on yourself thinking, oh, that's pretty and it'll smell nice. It will also leave blisters.
Yeah, you should never use wax that's not intended for wax play. You should not be using your candle you bought at Bath and Body Works, because those have a lot of additives in them and they burn very, very hot. And like you said, they don't just burn, they blister. They can get multiple layers of skin because it burns so hot so fast you can't get it off.
They are designed to not... they make candles so that they last longer.
Right.
And they're perfumed to last longer. Therefore, when the heat gets on your body, it will last longer.
Right. And it does not wash off quickly, and you'll already be in so much pain that you can't handle the washing off of it, and it just perpetuates and it gets worse and worse. So please don't use the candles you have sitting around your house for wax play. Purchase candles, make them yourself. We make all of ours ourselves.
Yes, we do.
And it's fun. We just bought molds at Hobby Lobby and bought some loose soy wax and a pot.
They sell it at Hobby Lobby. Mm-hmm. They sell it at Michael's. You can get it online.
Walmart, I think. Joann's has it.
Joann's has it. Yeah, I think Walmart does have it.
So, you know, we melt our own wax. We add colors. We experiment. We created our own candles that are votive size. And now we're going to probably change it up and see if we can do some more tapered size, because we think that that might work better for what we do. But
I think with the wick situation that we ran into, I think it will work better for us.
Yeah, our votives have a tendency to go really deep in the middle, but not get the edges. So we want to go with something narrower.
And take something narrower, like a taper.
Mm-hmm.
Narrower, boy.
Narrower. But yeah, wax play is fun. And I guess it's not for everybody, but
no.
I love it. And I love looking at the pictures of it. You know, we have lots of other friends in the Metroplex who play with wax, and I like looking at their pictures because pretty colors. Is
the reason that we like it. I think it's because it's very personal.
You know, it's very intimate.
It's very intimate, one-on-one. Sometimes you can do someone doing wax on two people at a time, and that can be fun. And it, you know,
and
but
you can co-top with wax too,
right? And you can co-top, and that's fun. But it's a very intimate thing because you have this one thing, and you have to get it just right so that you're not burning them. And then they go, ooh, and you get the, and you get the, and you get to see the colors.
But a lot of the play we do is really hard and intense and loud and just big.
Big and bombastic.
Wax play it's smaller, it's more intimate, it's quiet. You know, you can have music playing in the background, or you can just have that. Just the quiet, and it doesn't get really loud, and it doesn't get really, you know, super. It can get intense, but it doesn't get really like. I don't know the word I'm looking for, but it's not the same type of intensity. It's not the same level of play scene. It's not usually painful. It's not the kind of adrenaline rush that you would feel, but it's a closer intimacy. It's definitely a scene.
Oh, definitely.
And it's definitely one that builds a relationship between the people involved, I think.
It definitely is a connection builder.
Yes. So.
All right.
Wax is fun. Also, we haven't talked about it, but removing wax.
Yes. Removing wax is also a connection builder.
I know that that's one of your favorite parts.
It is, because I get to use a very sharp knife and drag it across your lovely, lovely flesh and go, bink, and pop the wax loose, and bink, pop the wax loose, and you go,
Which leads us into the next part of the chapter.
Doesn't it, though? Ice?
Except, oh, no, we need ice first. Never mind. I'm going to take that out.
Thank you.
Okay, but, yeah, I know that you're not the only top out there who likes removing the wax. That's a big sensation thing for the top, too. I mean, it definitely is for the bottom, because there's also the risk of, getting cuts.
And you don't have to use a sharp knife.
No, but if you are, you definitely have to trust your partner.
You do. Well, some people just go in and they peel it slowly. They wait for it to fully harden.
Which would work much better with paraffin than soy. But.
Right. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people who use this, even the paraffin soy mixture to straight paraffin, it will peel. And sometimes you can peel it so that you can, like, if you encrusted an entire boob, you can peel it so that you have the whole boob.
Now, we'll have to try that sometime.
Long, but yeah, it's awesome. So the ice part of V-Fire.
But we haven't really done any ice play.
We haven't. And I think the reason that I've been hesitant to is because you're always cold.
I am always cold.
I mean, you wear a sweater in August, for crying out loud.
I was wearing a sweatshirt until we did the zipper.
That's true. I'm surprised you didn't put it back on.
Well, it's not too cold in here.
No, it's not actually. So, ice, there's various things that you can do. You can make a mold. You can get molds at some adult novelty shops for, like, suckers or whatever, and make ice dildos.
Mm-hmm.
This is my how-to on ice dildos for you at home, all you DIYers. Take a condom, fill it with water, tie it off. Then get an empty paper towel roll, hang that condom in the middle of it, and just dangle it down the middle. Stand that up in the freezer. Boom, you have an ice dildo. Do not put it directly into an orifice without putting another condom over it first.
Yeah, you never want to stick ice directly into stick. A vagina. Yeah,
it will stick. So that's always fun and always brings out the deep take the breath away reactions when it enters.
Haven't tried that.
We've not done that one yet.
But
hopefully one day, because, you know, kids in the house. Why is this condom in the freezer is not a question we need to be trying to answer.
True.
So keep that in mind, folks. What we have done, however, is something we got from another show. And I've heard it a couple of places. And I'm not sure exactly who started it and where it came from. But it's a really brilliant idea.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to whoever it came from.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But thank you, too.
Yeah, well, you're welcome, because I did bring it to you.
You did.
And we did this last year. It's called Pussy Cookies.
Yay.
I heard it on another podcast. Since I heard it on that podcast, I've heard it in two other places. So basically how this works, you take your cookie dough, chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, sugar cookie, whatever you would like.
Chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip it is. Anything for my princess.
Yay.
So you take your chocolate chip cookie dough. If you get it in the tube, it's already kind of in the right shape. But you probably don't want the behemoth. So you can smooth it down a little bit. You know, it's up to you. Whatever. I'm not kink shaming. I'm just saying. This is a new thing. If you roll it down a little bit, you can thin it down some. Take your saran wrap, your plastic wrap, and wrap that dough really good. Now what you have is a dildo. D-O-U-G-H. Yeah. Pun intended. So after you've made your cookie dough phallus, and you've wrapped it in saran wrap, put it in the refrigerator or the freezer. Your choice. The colder you want it, the harder it is, the longer it will last, and the more you can play with it. So after it is chilled and solid and good and firm the way you want a cookie cock to be, take it, put a condom over that saran wrap, and fuck your girl silly with it. Make her scream your name in ecstasy.
It is nice. Yeah.
You did enjoy it.
I did enjoy it a lot.
You came on the dildo. At which point, when you're done playing, either the cookie cock goes limp or she's spent, whichever, or both happen. Then you remove the condom.
And the saran wrap.
And you carefully remove the saran wrap. No bodily fluid has ever touched the dough. At which point,
you make cookies.
You make cookies. And then you eat pussy cookies. Is that not the funnest thing?
I can attest that it is the funnest thing, actually.
I think that we will be making pussy cookies quite soon.
It was pretty much for Christmas last year, so
it was we're at due. Christmas time. You're right. Yeah. We are due. We'll have to take some. I'm not taking any. I'm not sharing pussy cookies with anyone.
No.
If I did take them, I would tell them how they were made. They would probably be eaten.
Oh, I'm sure they would, because people are perverts.
Of course they are. That's the kind of people we roll with. Are you kidding me?
Those are our people.
That's our people. That's right. But always, if you do take them to a party, play party, whatever, then be sure that you disclose that said cookies have been in a
orifice
of some sort. Because, you know, we didn't specify that they had to be in a particular orifice. Although face fucking with cookie dough is probably better without the condom.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm just saying.
That
probably less cookies will get made afterwards, too.
True.
So, anywho.
I mean, next time I just eat straight cookie dough, I'm going to call it face fucking with cookie dough. But
yeah. You know. I like this plan. The other thing that I would like to talk about with the ice before we move on is you beat someone senseless in a nice rough body play scene or deep impact with floggers or paddles or whatever. I have a stainless steel paddle that I like to sometimes put in the freezer.
Yeah.
And after that skin is all red and on fire from being beaten, just touch it with the ice and watch the goosebumps rise. Because the goosebumps do the work for me. I don't have to do anything. And they feel it. Because the goosebumps appear everywhere. Not just where I touched. And everywhere there's a goosebump, they feel it so much more intensely.
You know, the advantage to dating someone like me who is cold all the time is that you don't even have to raise those goosebumps.
All I have to do is just go, and they're, ooh, goosebumps. Look at that.
Well, and ice, before we move on, ice is good for sensation play too. Yes. You know, when you're like maybe blindfolded and they're using different implements, you know, it could be a feather, it could be ice, it could be, you know, something meaner. You don't know what to expect. You know, it's fun in those situations.
Definitely. Now, electro torture. There is a quote from the book under the electro torture section. It says, electric shock can disrupt the rhythm of the heart, causing death. Is that clear enough?
Yeah, we talk
about risk aware. We talk about sane, consent, all the things, especially the risk aware. When you cross the heart, I mean, you know, if someone goes into defib in the ER, what do? They grab the paddles and they shock them. They shock the heart back into rhythm. Keep that in mind. If you cross the heart with electricity, you can stop the heart. Be very careful. Do not play with electricity by yourself.
Oh, definitely not. That's not a solo play thing.
No.
At all, ever.
I know people who used to take a violet wand and rub it across themselves, which kind of mitigates the whole purpose of being grounded.
Yeah. I don't think mitigates the right word there.
No, it's not.
Contradicts.
Thank you.
It contradicts the point of being grounded.
Right. Because so I watched someone, they were laying on a bed, which they're grounded because they're touching the bed. The bed's touching the floor.
Yeah, but that's still risky because metal bed frames.
It's sketchy. Mm-hmm. It's very sketchy. And they grab their violet wand and they start running it up their thigh. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but find a friend.
Yeah. I'm like, I was right there. All he had to do was ask.
Yeah, so electrical play should definitely not be done alone. There are a lot of stories out there about people who've accidentally tased themselves. And when, I don't know if you've ever seen someone get tased, but when you get tased, your muscles lock up. Which means you can't let go of the trigger and you can basically stop your heart or keep going until you pee yourself and more and lose all bodily functions and possibly some brain. I mean,
I work in manufacturing and we do electrical safety training, whether we're doing electrical work or not. Because a lot of our equipment is energized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we get the warnings. And a basic electricity safety class, I would recommend it to people who want to play with electricity.
Even just
a basic
first aid
one.
CPR, because right. They cover that kind of stuff.
They do. You're right. But yeah, the whole, if someone's being shocked, don't just go up and grab them.
Oh, no.
Because then you too will be being shocked. You need to find something to remove them from what's shocking them.
And it needs to be something that does not conduct electricity. Right. So, like, you can push someone away from the source of electricity with a wooden stick, but don't pick up a metal stick and poke right. them with it. There was a story in Houston during the aftermath of the hurricane of a kid who was electrocuted. He just happened to cross a line when he was trying to get back into his house. I think his mom's house to get her cat or something like that. And he knew what was happening as soon as it started happening. And he warned his friend to get away from him to go to save himself because he knew there was no way they were going to be able to save him without putting themselves in the same exact position. Right. So just be aware, as always, of the risk involved in what you're playing with. Now, violent wands don't have enough current, I don't think, to actually kill someone. They're not intended to do that, so I don't think they carry the amount of current that you would need to actually do that kind of bodily injury.
Baby wand that we have, no, not so much. The bigger wands can get pretty powerful.
I don't know that they would stop a heart all on their own, but if somebody already has a heart condition or a pacemaker device, you would not want to use a violet wand on that person.
Exactly. That's which goes into negotiations and talking about
knowing medical history. Stuff. Yeah.
You don't need a complete medical history. When I was 2, I had the chicken pox. I don't care.
But I have a pacemaker. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
I have a metal hip. Maybe you don't want to hit that with a...
That might be important to know. Right. Also, impact play, metal hip, just saying.
But violet wands are fun.
Tens unit.
Tens unit is, I've used it more for therapy than I have for play, but we have used it for play.
We did get it out and I used it for play. It was fun.
Really, it just depends on where you put it.
Made you dance.
The tens unit being play versus, rehab, it depends on where you put it.
If you put one on each boob, you are crossing the heart.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Do not do that.
This is not something I have any experience with, except for wax removal.
A little bit with me, right. So the cutting edge is the next subsection in this chapter, which obviously is knives. So some things that I jotted down, because they spend, I think, all of 2 paragraphs talking about it. And the people that I know that love knife play can give you 2 days worth.
Oh, yeah.
Some things I jotted down. There's definitely fear play involved if you're playing with knives.
Right. Because it's risky.
Because you can hold it up to someone's throat. Now, a lot of the knives that I've used in the past, sometimes I will dull an edge on one. And I have 2 of the exact same knife. You've seen them.
Yes.
One is very dull. One is very sharp. So you take the one that's sharp and you show that you can slice paper with it, really easily. And then
this is psychological warfare.
And then you grab the dull one and you hold it right to their throat and said, "Don't you move. Don't you move." Drag the point along where they're ticklish. Don't jump. You'll stab yourself. And it becomes a predicament fear play kind of thing. Yeah. Good stuff, huh? Another thing I jotted down was artistic cutting. We know people that do that.
Yes.
Mainly they're using probably scalpels. So
scalpels are a little more precise and easier to wield, I think.
But I think they're using X-Acto knives also.
Oh, I
which can
see that.
Be sanitized.
Yeah.
So
and should be if you're
any
drawing
yes,
blood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, and we bring the Baron up because he loves knives. If you have a knife and you're playing with someone, if it's a knife that folds up and closes, that's a one-person toy.
Yes.
Because you cannot clean the inside of that out enough to remove everything.
Right.
Whether you draw blood or not. If it's an open, all the time, just open blade, then that can be cleaned to the point that it can be used on multiple people.
If you've ever watched CSI, you know that those folding blades trap
DNA.
Yes.
And we don't want evidence other than pictures on FetLife.
Right.
Please share. Other things that you can do with knives would be cutting rope. Although I recommend safety scissors, but sometimes you need a knife and a pinch.
Yeah, safety scissors tend to be the better choice, but if you don't have them or
they're not working
for some reason,
really, they're good for one use at best.
Yeah. A knife
can work if you're careful,
and you should always be careful.
Yes, you should. Another thing a knife is good for, and I love a knife for this, is the cutting off of clothes.
We've not done that yet
because I'm not trying to ruin your clothes. Cutting off of panties. You don't own many, so
I don't wear them.
I know, right?
I actually do have some you're welcome to cut.
I have some. Okay. Well, it's a date. Hey, look at that. So, yeah, you can cut. And a friend of ours in the Dallas community, don't have permission to say her name, said, hey, we can go to Goodwill and get clothes for cheap. Those can be cut off. Great idea. Find a place where you can find cheap, inexpensive clothes. Maybe you've lost a lot of weight recently and you can cut those clothes off. Yeah, there's always a plan. Anything to get you naked, right?
Yeah, that seems to be your plan.
That is my plan. I like you naked. I like it a lot.
Yay.
Yeah. I think we're going to stop this chapter here. We're going to be a little less than an hour this time.
But that's okay.
That's okay. Because the next section is, it starts with anal stuff, and they spend like 5 pages on that. So I think we're going to have a whole anal episode.
So next week, we'll just talk about butt stuff.
I think we'll talk about butt stuff.
Lots of butt stuff.
Lots and lots of butt stuff.
And, you know, he likes the live demos, so we'll see.
Hey, who knows? I think that that can be arranged because there's something that they don't mention in the book.
That we talked about we
that
should.
That we talked about that they should
and
have.
And it is on our list of things to do.
It is. So there may be another Princess Peeta first.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. Or behind that, since it's anal.
Butt stuff.
Butt stuff. So until next time, I'm BK.
I'm Princess Peeta.
Keep on adventuring.
You know how you like your rope. Our friends at Minawashi cater to those that are particular about their rope and choose to condition it themselves. Let them provide you the highest quality unfinished jute rope so you can have your rope your way. Custom rope available upon request. Go to www.minawashi.com. That's www.minawashi.com. Or email them at minawashi@gmail.com.
Let a dragon be your safe call. House of the Faithful Dragons is offering safe call as a service. Just call them and give them the details, the date and time, the location, the names of the people involved, and they'll contact you with a prearranged time via text or call to get the all clear from you or to summon the police on your behalf if you cannot. 972-591-3730. That's 972-591-3730 from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time. Outside of these hours, someone will call you back as soon as possible. That's 972-591-3730 between 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. Central Time, and let a dragon be your safe call. I torture you!